that you've come on the show today to tell us about this process, because we must tell these stories. Good morning, Australia. Good evening, America. And welcome to everyone listening across the planet today. This is the Author and Artist Hour, and I am one of a co-host team. And I'll introduce you to my glorious co-host, Kez Wickham St. George, in a moment, and our fabulous guest for today. But before I do that, if you're listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, just remember, we have the team waiting in the background to provide you with the links to anything that we talk about today. If you want to catch up on shows that you've missed, please jump on to our YouTube channel. We are on a bit of a crusade this month, the month of May. Going into June, we want to hit 25,000K subscribers. So please, I'd love you to jump on and subscribe to the Tony Lontis YouTube channel. You can see replays of live shows on Tony TV, available on all Roku, LG and Samsung smart TVs across the planet, and also available on Binge TV networks, Zondra TV networks, Hero Go and Paz TV across the US. Now, a special part of each and every show is our Welcome to Country, which acknowledges the important part Indigenous communities play in the development of our country's cultural identity. So today, I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, and the Noongar people, the traditional owners in Perth, where Kez is, and they are the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and broadcast. And I want to pay my respects to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Now, I co-host this show with the gorgeous Kez Wickham St. George, who is in her own right an international best-selling author, author's mentor. She's also an artist and does amazing book reviews. She helps many, many, many authors across the planet grab their idea for a book and translate it into a published book. She has connections with wonderful publishers across the planet, and I do too. And of note is our guest today, the gorgeous Natasha Denman, whom I started my own publishing journey with all those years ago. It's not really that long ago. It was only 2019. However, the past few years have been challenging, and it seems like forever. It feels like I've known Natasha forever, and she is an amazing human being. She is the ultimate 48-hour author, a highly sought-after professional speaker, coach, and mentor. She is a 14 times published author and creator of the game-changing business model, 48-Hour Author. She's helped over 600 solopreneurs become first-time published authors in 15 different countries around the world, including Australia, the US, United Arab Emirates, and Canada. And anywhere else, for anyone else listening, Nat can help you out from across the globe. So 3 years ago, Natasha also founded her own publishing company, Ultimate World Publishing, and her authors are now writing their second and third books. I'm lagging behind. I have a number of books in my head. They just haven't made it to paper yet. Anyway, I digress. Appearing in all major media outlets across Australia, including the Sydney Morning Herald, the Financial Review and The Age, Natasha is changing the way people do business in Australia and the world. And she now runs a multi-seven-figure business with a husband and three gorgeous kidlets from home after pivoting the business from an offline to highly successful online model during coronavirus. And we've all been impacted in some way by this nasty little virus, but I know from personal experience that Natasha has done one of those most amazing pivots. And we're going to ask her a little bit about that in our interview today. Good morning, Kez. Good morning, Nat. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
We are delighted. I am a little biased, of course, because Nat is not only a personal friend, but she is my publisher and the reason that I am on the journey that I am. So it's a particular It's particularly good for me to be able to interview the person who started me on my journey and who mentored me in a way forward that was not only about writing a book but about starting a business and looking at what was next. So Nat, I want to know from your experience with all the authors you've worked with, what holds a person back from writing their book?
That's easy. It's themselves. It's their mindset. They're standing in their own way. So my biggest challenge is to help them get out of their own way, give themselves permission, because really the number one reason is their self-doubt and fear. So that's what it all boils down to. They can say it's not the right time, or I don't have the time or the money to do this, but really deep down we always find it's that, you know, giving themselves permission to get their story or message out into the world.
And Nat, sometimes it's just about making that decision. I know that that's what it was for me, because I had a book running around in my head for 5 years before I met Natasha. And it was actually making that decision, okay, now's the time, and then creating space to actually do it. So I stopped the consulting company that I had at the time and sat down in the July of that year and wrote for 5 months straight until the November. And then as we got into, and had it edited along the way, but as we got into further editing and book cover and all the rest of it, I was actually traveling at the time and still managed to do it. So there shouldn't be any excuses why someone can't write a book quite quickly, and there's no excuse with the technology that we have, is there, Nat?
No, absolutely not. Once you make that decision, it actually happens all very quickly. I don't know if you've heard this saying, but it takes a bloody long time not to write a book. You know?
Correct.
So I always say that to my authors. Once you've decided, you could be holding a book in the next 3 to 4 months, you know. So, you know, which you know to be the case, you know, with what you do. So, yeah, it has to be, I think it's a sliding doors moment where people will either say yes or they'll turn up to a seminar or a thing another 5 to 10 years later still wanting to write that book. So I said one of the things, if you're going to put it on the back burner, it'll stay there and months and months and months and years pass by.
And sometimes, Nat, it's just a matter of taking conscious action daily. So write for 5 minutes every morning, 5 days of the week, and sooner or later you'll have a book. Or record. Like that was one of the things for me, was to learning to, I don't have to write, I can actually record. And Kez and I have talked about this often, the power of recording versus actually sitting there and writing.
Oh, yeah. I'm so impatient. I think a lot faster than that I can, like, move my fingers, even though I can touch type. I'd just rather, like, speak it out than clean it up. And that's how the process obviously works with what we do. But not everyone prefers that way, or they don't have the confidence to speak. So we still teach them the unpacking and the structuring process, but then they'll continue typing because they prefer that anyway. So you can do it both ways, but if you can speak it, you'll be a lot faster.
Okay. I agree. I totally agree. Nat, it's nice to meet you.
You too.
I'm a one-man band. So you are, through the pandemic, I watched many, many books get published. Everybody was writing and had the time and had the passion to do so. We all felt being in lockdown was totally unfair and all the rest of it, even though it was keeping us safe. Whatever the argument was, suddenly a book appeared. And I'm connected to 3 or 4 publishers, and they would say another book, another book. And I thought, how do you guys sleep? Because there was just so many books coming out. But I also found after the pandemic, it slowed right down. And I watched sort of things dry up a lot. People were back at work. So in your role as a mentor, how do you convince people that writing a book is the right thing for them? They get hold of you. And, I mean, the first thing any writer does, if they're anything like Tony and I, we'll jabber for hours about why we want to write a book. So how do you convince a person it's the right thing to do?
Well, I do run a half-day seminar that I've been running now for a decade, and I run it 35 to 40 times a year. And this is really the seminar that builds up that big why. And actually, Tony attended that probably 6 months before she came to her retreat with me. And in that seminar, it's about challenging them to think bigger, that it's not just the book. It's, first of all, what's going to happen is who you're going to become as a result of writing the book. So I have this famous quote. It's not about writing your first book. It's about the person you become at the other end of it, which is that personal transformation that you've got to figure out leveling. And then the second thing is don't think $20 or $30 product. Think bigger. Think the credibility. Think how can you implement through the information or the story that you have shared and therefore provide transformation for other people. So my whole thing is I'm a business. Really, I see myself more as a business head than a book. And I'm always thinking book. Okay, what's the business behind it? You know, and I know Tony's book was a autobiographical story, but because she hung out around me and I talked a lot about business and stuff, what has come about and what has resulted in some of those things. And sometimes people may start with a life story and there really isn't a connection to what a business might be. But it is about, I want them to get return on investment. And my passion is to get not just return on investment 10, 20 times, people building 6 or 7 figure businesses from it. So people that join me, I kind of want to model my journey. They might sometimes not want to start like with a business, but if they hang out a bit longer, you know.
I was going to say, Nat, you've just triggered a memory in me, and I think I actually said to you, oh, no, I don't want a business. And I think you subsequently said to me, like years later, you were the least likely person I thought that would be an entrepreneur. And I'm like, wow. And that just triggered in my memory. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a big change, wasn't it?
I probably have the email somewhere where you said that.
I just want to write a book, Nat. I just want to write a book. I don't want to do anything else. Ha ha.
Specifically. So for me, I didn't, I think with the pandemic, there was a lot of limiting beliefs that people had of what was going to happen. And I was one of those because I didn't think what I did could move from offline to online. I thought no one's going to invest in my thing just by meeting me on Zoom. I mean, I need to travel to these cities and meet people and they get to feel me and, you know, come to the retreat, which is the experience and all that. And that was just a limiting belief. After I did 2 or 3 seminars on Zoom, and one of them was the LA event, and that was the defining moment where it just shifted, and about 9 people signed up to write their books from that seminar. And I was just like, yeah, I just need to pretend like I'm there with them and all this sort of stuff. And now we're 2 years after, you know, moving online. I haven't seen a decline. Maybe other people have, but, like, I always kind of have this belief that there is always people looking for what I've got to offer. I just need to find them. And maybe some periods I'll get a lot more no's than yeses, but overall my business grew. Best year was 2020. We went down a little bit in 2021 because we were fully online, because we went from an offline hybrid year to a fully online year, and we were figuring out our Facebook ad strategy. Sometimes they were working and sometimes they weren't. And so that was a bit of up and up, but still it was a 7-figure year. It wasn't nothing to sneeze at. This year we're on track for the best year yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting is that, Nat?
Yes. We're a multi-7-figure year. We're half, not even halfway, and we're already at 7 figures. So yeah, there is people out there. You just got to find them.
Nat, what you offer writers is kind of a little different from lots of other publishing houses that I work with, and I think that was one of the things that drew me to you. And it started with one of your seminars. So it was an in-person seminar where we listened to you talk and about writing and publishing and editing and all the rest of it. But part of the reason why I went with Ultimate World Publishing was the education that was available to us that sat behind the book. So it wasn't just about writing and publishing, it was about what was next. And that was where the start of a thought around business probably stemmed from. And then, of course, hanging around Nat, you can't help but absorb the tips and the education that comes with your packages. So Nat, is attending one of your workshops still the first and best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah, so that's what we were going up and down last year, where we were offering the seminar as a paid seminar, and that's how it worked offline. And when it went online, it still kind of worked, and then it started to dry up, where people, I think, got used to attending free online seminars. Yes. And that's where we kind of took a whole 6 months of making a firm decision, you know what, let's make it free. And with a VIP upgrade, which there's still some paid people that come into it. But the volume of leads now, like Tony, I ran one yesterday, 350 people registered. Then not everyone shows up. Let's say we have people show up. We had about 15 VIPs. But from those people, like all the 300 plus will be on my database now. If they didn't turn up yesterday, maybe they'll turn up to one in the future. We'll nurture and we will send emails. Like now I have a copywriting guy over from Macedonia, where I come from, and he's in charge of writing all my emails. And he's so good. I love it.
Wow.
I love that. And so he's nurturing everybody and, like, making sure they're staying engaged and all that sort of stuff. So week after week, and this is why I say we do 35 of these a year, like now we've got four Tuesdays in a row, because I've just returned from Fiji and I'm going to go to Bali at the other end of it. So I'm like, we work hard, you play hard, right? And so, yeah, that is the best place. It's still the half day. Nothing's changed. Everything's just delivered through Zoom. And we find we discover our authors worldwide now, not just in the capital cities, which is where we used to tour out to. Now it's people in remote towns, like far away in Canada and the East Coast in America, everywhere, like usually New Zealanders, Americans, Canadians and Australians attend. That's where Stuart does the ads.
But having said that, though, you can work with anyone in Europe, Russia, Ukraine, anywhere.
Yeah. As long as they don't expect me to reply at my dinner time. That's why, like, usually the US market is kind of like it's our morning, it's their evening, and they're finished work and then they can get on to their book writing kind of things, and it works really well. I did try the Middle East, and of course we can work with the other side of the world. You just have to be mindful of the time differences of when you're going to get responded to, because it can, when I used to work with the Middle East, they used to interfere into my evenings, and it was really, you know, hard because you never switched off.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, the I find that I can't imagine being as busy as you. I really can't. It would just drive me insane if I was as busy as you. But where did this idea that you have now, where did it originate?
From me. I've always been my first guinea pig. I've kind of gone to literary degrees. I mean, I didn't speak a word of English before I was 14, so I didn't even have that kind of, strength. I just decided I would go away on a weekend with a girlfriend after I had already written a couple of books. So my first book, I did it the slow way. Well, it was only 80 days really to write it, but to me it was much slower than 48 hours, right? And I knew the power of a book. And then when we decided to co-author half, six chapters each in this other book, I said, let's go away on a weekend. We can both touch that. We can do it. We need to work really hard, but we'll smash it out and then we'll get on with our businesses, because we were consulting a lot one-to-one still in those days. And I just didn't feel like stop, start. And so we went away. But before we went away, we interviewed someone. And by interviewing him as a bonus chapter to the book, I actually recorded him because I realized I couldn't write fast enough when he was talking. And when I recorded him, I thought, well, I'm not going to transcribe this. Like, takes forever to do that work. So I found someone for $20 to transcribe this 20-minute interview. And when he came back, he was like, oh, my God, it's exactly like him. It sounds like him. So I need to tighten it up, just, you know, because when we speak, you use longer sentences. You throw in some words that don't look good on paper. And so I did spend an hour tightening it up. And I go, oh, cut and paste. And then this idea of why should we be typing these six chapters? Why don't we unpack our chapters, which is what I call the chapter unpack template, have our why, what, how, what, if. And actually we deliver webinars on these topics. So just like literally talk as if you're delivering a webinar and no one's talking back at you, right? And so then I worked out the maths. 17 to 20 minutes per chapter, over 12 chapters, you're going to give us these 40,000 words, which we're aiming for. And so we went away. We spent 3 hours writing the book, and we had a girls' weekend away. And then the book was in our hands 72 days later because, as you know, with publishing, editing stage, layout stage, and then printing. And then a few months later, I thought, if I can write half a book in 3 hours, why can't I take people away on a weekend, reverse engineer what I did for myself, and get them to do a full book? Like, I'll give them 7 recording hours, 6 for 12 chapters, the 7th one for introduction afterward, and then make everything all inclusive, like include publishing, include accommodation, meals, which at the time we're now fully virtual, but Tony attended the real life retreat.
So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was wonderful. But actually the virtual ones, Tony, are more effective and more
Yes. I remember you telling me that yeah, there were just better results from the virtual program.
Because people are not partying and drinking and socializing and you know, which is what you should be doing in your 2-hour blocks when you get sent off to write your book. So it's the same format, identical. Except we still do some social things like a cocktail hour or, you know, fun things, the music, the song, the mantra, all of those things that happen at the real life retreat. Except when you're writing, you're not like at the coffee machine trying to like trace time and all that sort of stuff. You are very focused, but many people are not focused at the real life. They use it as a holiday. And therefore they lag. And Kiers, just to answer your question, no, I'm not so busy. Everyone within this business now, everyone has a role. It's not, it used to be just me, right? Okay. And at that time, it was very busy. Now my husband's like marketing, all about Facebook ads and preps the authors ahead of their retreat. We've got 2 girls in publishing, so they just move all the emails. They have got 55 books currently in progress, right? And then I've got my Lendy in the Philippines, my 7-year virtual assistant. She's event coordination, confirms everybody. She does my Amazon bestseller campaigns and everything. I'm really the face of the business. I'm doing the training. I'm doing fun stuff like this with you guys, you know, yeah. And make sure the systems are there so that, you know, we're smooth and everything runs. You know, we've got editors, designers, they're contractors, and the copywriting guys. So once you outsource, it seems like a person's busy, but I looked at my calendar. Every month I've got 2-3 weeks blocked out. I went to Queensland in April. May, we just went to Fiji. Now we're going to Bali. We're having a white Christmas in the US. Like, literally, I'm going to go back to Queensland with Mum next week, Jonas. So if you want to do lunch, I'll be there next week for a week with Mum.
I'm flying to Singapore on Thursday. So, you know, I'll
be back after a couple of months again, probably.
I was going to say, it's been a while since we've actually caught up on a lunch, and every time I see you, I'm like, oh, I need to ask Nat about that, and I need to check up about that. And my brain goes into creative overdrive just hanging around Nat. It does. I can honestly say that that's where the start of that entrepreneurial mindset started, and I was the least likely to follow that path. But there's something about the way that Nat does her systems and processes that made a lot of sense to me, and that's why you include them as part of your book writing publishing package. We talk about marketing and all the rest of the stages of, because getting your book written and published is just the first part. There's a whole range of stuff after that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually starting a membership program today after this call. It's a way to help more of my authors publish their books, but at the same time we're chunking everything down in 60 to 90 minute workshops, and then if they've been part of the membership for 24 months, they automatically qualify for to publish another book. And I'm starting with 31 today. I'm super excited. So I'm chunking it right down, Tony. Like, you know, you've been to masterclasses where they're whole day things, where social media for authors or online programs.
Yes.
So these will be small chunks every week, 40 weeks a year. And they're going to like just to build their infrastructure, because when you're newer and you would have had that years.
There's
so much to set up, and your brain cannot hold everything. So this was initiative for this year. And I thought I'd be starting with 10 or 15 members, but I'm 31. So, like,
oh, lovely. Yeah.
So, Nat, how can people find the membership?
Oh, by secretly messaging me and I'll send you information. Because you know what I'm like?
Damn!
I guess, and then I work out the how. I haven't even put this on my website. I've only shared it inside my secret communities and kind of launched it there. But it's going to be a permanent thing that stays on. And some people who can't afford my whole program because it was is a high investment, they could chip away and learn to build the marketing and the infrastructure. But then at the end of it, they finish with a book.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a fantastic idea. Membership that leads to a book.
You like the sticking point because the incentive is you need to stay for 2 years because a lot of the time people coming in and out of memberships, right? Yes. Because I say cancel anytime. I don't mind if you cancel anytime. There's no, like, nothing's holding you. But the fact that there's
an incentive. If you stay for 2 years, you will get the book just by being part of that membership. What a great offer, Nat.
And if they wanted to publish that book after year one, all they can do is top it up to, say, the 2 year point, and I'll publish their book. So there you go.
Yay! See, I love the innovation that you can do with entrepreneurial business. Mm. And it's different from traditional business. It gives you scope and creativity to do whatever you want, doesn't it?
I just love it. Every year I invent something new. I sit there and, you know, the Amazon bestseller campaigns was just something that I did for myself. And then someone said, can you teach me? And I said, oh, take me too long to teach you. Do you want me to do it for you? And I said, yes, I did it for them. And then I did it for another 10 authors because it's just a lot of techie things and strategy and all that. And that's how I learn it. So then once I did 12 authors, I systemized it and then I taught my virtual assistant to do it. So to this day, Lindy, my virtual, she's the superstar of Amazon bestsellers and she's done over 100 books and we have 100% success rate. Not one have we missed when we've run a campaign.
Wow. It's amazing.
And Nat, is that part of your publishing packages as well as the Amazon? No, it's separate.
It's separate. So some authors want it, some authors don't. I always teach them, look, guys, it is a strategy. It's a hack, you know. But when people see Amazon stamp on your cover, your perception out there is increased. You know what I mean? Like what people think of you. And the ones that have done it, they've given me feedback about comments they receive from others because when you're rubbing shoulders with Amazon, everyone knows who they are. Therefore, borrowing their credibility.
Definitely. Definitely.
I'm soaking on all this knowledge. It's amazing. And you're amazing, Nat. Now, if you once you've published a book, what is the promotional package that you offer?
Well, everything's included in our retreat program. So, for example, we don't do the promotions for you. Okay, so we are all about educating and empowering you to do the things because a lot of the time people, when they're starting out, they're time rich, cash poor, right? And so if I was to do stuff for people, I would have to charge them so much because of our time, right? So as Tony said, she's attended quite a few of these. Six times a year we do masterclasses. And a masterclass is a full day event online now via Zoom. And we have topics such as social media for authors, online program creation, bums on seats, speak for profit, sales mastery, mindset for authors to achieve success. I've done outsourcing for authors. So every year, because I don't know, Tony, if I shared this with you, but I made my retreat program be a lifetime mentoring, which meant that if people like yourself wanted to write another book, they complimentary attend another retreat without paying.
Yes.
Lifetime attend their masterclasses. Lifetime, I've invented also the coaching couch with Nat. So that's a fortnightly 1 hour of power with me, no agenda. Come in, ask your challenge or question, direct access, and everyone else gets to learn from it. So that's something that added in. You know, you'd be welcome to join it. You know, there's no cost. So what I tend to do, Kez, is give my retreat author, so my ultimate package, the biggest package that there is, so much. Because the relationships span over a decade. For some of my authors, so I had an author, just to give you an example, 7 years ago, did my third retreat, and I've done 40 now. And she reconnected after 7 years, and she started coming back to the masterclasses and coming into everything. Just the other day, she signed up to do book two and Amazon bestseller. And now she's doing membership too. So my whole thing is keep connected, keep adding value, and then the new things you invent, the people are going to want to, some of your people are going to want to, partake in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Tony?
In thinking about the sorts of books that you publish, what's the highest category? Are they nonfiction, i.e. business? Are they fiction? What's the mix of the authors?
Yeah, nonfiction, business related, I would say is 60%. I would say 30% autobiographical healing kind of books, like just need to bucket list item. And those people, half of those people then end up thinking business like yourself. And then the last 10%, I would say we do some fiction and children's only publishing, because those kind of books are not suitable for my retreat program. I always say, look, I can help you publish through the publishing company, but really you're not going to get value from coming to a retreat. The discussions we have there are not suitable. And so we've done, I've been helping a pilot publish the Valkyrie Chronicles, and it's like a 7-series big books, like 80,000-90,000 words and all that sort of stuff. And he's just signed up for 5 more publishing packages all at once, because he's just smashing them out. I would say that would be the percentage divide. But really my ideal person that I want to help with wants to grow a business behind their book. I just want to see them writing a book. It's a lot of emotional investment, time investment, financial investment, so much. And I just want them to have the future that I guess I envision for myself. So I want everyone to have that kind of freedom, flexibility, lifestyle, family. I've got 3 kids, and I'm taking mom. 6 of us are going to Bali. Every time we go on a holiday, it's not a cheap thing, because you got to buy 6 flights, accommodation for 6 people. It's like massive. But, we work hard, you play hard, and you get rewarded, and you're able to help more people as well at the end of the day.
Mm. Excellent. Now,
what is it about, I know that you said this to me right at the beginning, that a book gives you credibility that you won't find elsewhere, and I wasn't sure that that was going to happen, but there's something about a book and a business that gives you additional credibility. You found that through most of the books that you've published, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I can get any more credibility than I already kind of have after 14 books, but I still write about a book a year, and I'm on the cusp of starting probably the next one. And I ask my authors, what do you want me to write about this time around, And they'll want to know how I stay super organized, what did I learn from my mum, because I often talk about my mum and her lessons of every beginning is hard and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
Top 10 lessons that my mum imparted on me, and I was sitting there with her the other night saying, what are the top 10 things you've taught me? Because we know the top 3 kind of thing, and we went through and jotted down. So I've unpacked a bit of it, and I'll have a bit of fun writing it. But now I write not for credibility. I write for people want to get inside my head and how I think and how I stay organized. So I just can kind of reverse engineer and tell them what I do. And I said, if you want to do it this way, here's an option. And you know what I've always said, Tony, is the books that we write are actually not for other people. They're for the past version of us. Mm-hmm. So often the advice that I will share in a book is what I would have told myself to do like 5 or 10 years ago, or how to be, how to think and all that sort of stuff. So, I don't think once you write quite a few books, in the credibility kind of it goes up and then kind of levels off. But then people are buying all my titles. Like they've started following and the next title comes in, then they buy it. And I have no pressure to sell my books, because I know I make a bigger impact in the other ways that I help people. So there's always, there's no need to carry a lot of books as well nowadays. You can print them.
print on demand. That's the great things that have changed around books and publishing is all the technology, from audiobooks to ebooks to hardcover, soft color, print on demand. There's just so much that you can do with a book. And again, in terms of a business, if you want to give credibility to your brand or your business, then a book is the way to go, isn't it?
Well, I call it your business card on steroids, right? You've heard of it. It's your business card on steroids. And your first one is definitely going to, like, give you that exponential exposure and growth and speaking opportunities. Media will consider you a lot easier than someone who just says, I'm an expert. I believe you have to declare yourself the expert first before other people start to see you as that. Mm. Is that how it's worked for you guys?
Well,
Kiss, I didn't call myself an expert. I actually call myself a professional author mentor. But yeah, I guess it's all come down to self-belief. It really does. How you believe in yourself, and how you believe that you can help other people. I'm on a really minor scale. At my age, I like to travel more and take in the experiences and see what people do. But I've got 13 books, and each and every one is close to my heart, as I imagine yours would be. But do you accept non-fiction writers or just fiction writers?
So most of them are non-fiction. So fiction is just a tiny percentage of that. And my future, Kez, is probably to do what you're doing and downsize, or perhaps get my business to be run by one of my kids. Like, two of my kids have written their books behind me. We've got Mika's book right here, and Judd's book there, the green one. Actually, funny enough, Judd's book is the bestseller out of the family with the just with Ingram's Park Distribution. I keep getting these reports, and Judd's book always sells the most units out of everyone. I really hope that one of my children at some point may like to take the reins and run this business. My middle child, she's about to turn 11, and she's doing some social media posting for us. So she's every day after school, she'll rotate 5 value-adding posts in our various Facebook page, groups and all that, LinkedIn. And every day she'll then come the next day and she'll put them in the different spots. So I've employed her on a small scale for 25 a week. But she's the one that's showing the most potential and interest. She also wants to be financially abundant and okay in life, be able to afford things she wants. So therefore I said, you've got to add value to people. You've got to help people. When you add value, that's how you make money. And so she's starting to kind of sort of be there. But I don't know if one of them will want to take this on. If not, perhaps what I'm looking for is after this year to see how more and more I can remove myself from certain tasks. Is there someone else that could run my half-day seminar? I mean, now this year I hired a salesperson, and she's 4 months in, and she's now really starting to, like, it was very quiet the first 2 months, you know, but now she's built up, like, relationships. And, when I was in Fiji, they did 50 grand in sales. We may not be there. You know, it's just I'm not there. I'm not closing people. I'm not, like, you know, I'm just, I'm on holidays and I didn't have much internet, so I couldn't do anything about it. And so my dream is, to kind of just be maybe the CEO, but I have a general manager, I have everyone in every role. So this is just kind of running itself, and or maybe potentially build it to sell and have everything set up. So then that's how I exit. So let's see what unfolds by the time I'm 50.
Well, that's such a long way away.
It is. Yeah. It goes in a flash. It's a long way away.
It does go in a flash.
Yes.
Kiz, is it your turn? Oh, no, it's my turn.
I think it's your turn.
I'm so enthralled in this conversation. And again, my brain keeps just going back to all the different things that I've learned from Nat over the time. And one of the things, key things for me was around systems and processes. Now, I am not as organized as Nat. I am not as good as Nat at systems and processes, but I'm getting there. So Nat is super organized, super process driven, and super ways of doing things. And so I kind of figure if I get 50 to 60% of that into my business, I'll be doing really good. But that's where it started, was in the process of writing a book, was that education about what happens next. And that has stood me in good stead for developing a business after writing a book, was those processes. What is your email sequence? What are your offers? What does this look like? And for me, of course, I've been evolving and evolving and evolving. It feels like every 6 months I'm changing and updating what I offer and how I do it. And that's my question, Nat. Do you see, for those of us that have followed you and been involved with you in writing a book, that there's an evolution that takes place in business and that you eventually get to a spot where it's kind of settled?
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, it
excellent.
Does.
Excellent. Good to know.
Pandemic hits and then you kind of get unsettled, which is what happened. Yes. Like I'm very, very settled, I would say, for the 4 years prior to the pandemic. There was this routine, year in, year out. My whole calendar always was done 18 months ahead. I knew what holidays I was taking. I knew when I was going on tour. I knew everything. And I'm always like building in buffers, Tony. That's what I think you're.
Yes.
I'm always thinking 10 steps ahead and getting ready for whatever's going to happen. And then when, the pandemic hit, we never worked so hard for those first 6 months.
Oh,
night and day, even though we were locked up, but to restructure and just retweak everything for an online version. But now I feel settled this year. I really do. Last year, as I said, was a bit of a, like, you know, are we going to make this seminar free or whatever? And then towards the end, we kind of felt it started going right. And then now it feels like a really good routine. Why I also have put on the salesperson, because there's no human possible for me to follow up that many leads and that many people that are in our pipeline and all that sort of stuff. So, you do settle. But, of course, there are moments where you will need to, like when I started a publishing company, it's actually coming up to 4 years this August.
Oh, wow.
Starting that was another kind of
big,
unsettlement. Whereas, well, you're starting a whole second business, right?
Yes.
You've got to put it all back and transitioning from the people that used to help us to just doing it all in-house, again, hiring people that to support that. So there'll be moments, you know, where, you know, you're going to, like even launching this membership. I mean, the last 2 months, I really have put the word out there. Make sure everyone knows it's happening. Today is the launch. That doesn't stop that who's going to come into it.
But so we need that link, Nat. Like, we need that link so we can add it to this video.
Yeah, I can send you the document. I have a picture of the website. As to what's included and all that, but
I love it.
You know what I say? You sell it, then you build it.
And I have seen you do that again and again, and that's exactly what I've been doing. Think about it first and then work out how it works.
Yes.
And I guess that's what led me to that question, because I feel like I'm constantly evolving and I'm like, oh my God, is it going to stop soon? Is it going to settle soon? Like, I just get one thing organized and then it's like, oh, right, okay, this is what's next and this is what it looks like and this is how it's going to get up. And so it's actually really encouraging to hear that that's still happening for you and that's okay. That's what happens.
But you will feel, because everything else will be settled, when you introduce something new, it's just going to make you a little bit busier for you to launch it. But then that'll become part of the routine. Like Amazon bestseller, I was very busy figuring it out myself and then training my assistant. But once I handballed it over to her, I don't think about it. She's the boss of it. Sam is the girl who published. My publications manager was by her side, you know, kind of training her and making sure we have all the emails in the system set up. But once I did that, Vivi actually trained Julie, who's her publications coordinator. So I never had to train her. And now with my salesperson, we're talking about potentially next year we'll put on a second salesperson. And so I said to Wendy, well, you're going to be training her. I'm going to train. So you first find the first person and then they train everyone else. You're not going.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. I agree.
I don't want too big a team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to I think this business, the size it is, I'm happy with it. It just yes. I now want to organize it so that it needs me less and less and less every single year so that you know I can do those things. The choice of, you know, enjoy. People think I'm a workaholic, but they actually don't actually realize how much time I have. I don't work weekends anymore. I don't work most Fridays. I don't work public holidays. We shut the business for 3 weeks over Christmas. And I don't work school holidays. So that's when I travel with kids. So with the kids. And yes, I'll pick up my emails on a business day, but there's not much because actually everything. Everyone else is pending folders. I get two or three emails a day that I have to answer, but that's it.
I was just going to say one of my other key things is I aim for zero emails in my inbox. Because that was something you taught me. Now, so far, I've been able to get it down to between 3 and 5 on most days. However, there's just times where you'll just go, boom, and there's like 200 and it'll take me a week to get through them. And I always have Nat's voice in my back of my head. Keep your inbox clean and tidy. Get it down to zero. And I'm like, I never quite get there.
There's also obviously there's emails that cannot be cleared immediately. Like, for example, this interview today, the email was sitting there in my pending. So I have the main inbox. And then we have pending for Nat, for Stu, for Lindy, for Vivi, for everyone's got its own pending folder. So when we open up on the day, everyone's, whoever's relevant, because we only have two emails in the business, the main book one and the Natasha Denman one, and my husband has one that is just private to him. But actually the whole team works on your one email. So
another great piece of advice is working off one email as well, like powerful.
Yeah, and then so if I have another interview next week, with someone in the US, that's just sitting in my pending because I know I need the Skype link or whatever I need to get to. Once I've done that, I'll click it. But the main inbox is zero. And then in the pending, then again, in the pending, it's not like hundreds. It's only like 10 things or something. I'll count to two. But sometimes they just need to live there just until I get that
just
thing done.
Just until you get, Yes, I'd leave them there until I get done and then they go into another box, out of my way, forgotten about.
And don't give your business email for, like, subscription in closed stores. So I use my Yahoo crappy email from long ago. I subscribe with that to those things, but my business.
That's a good idea as well. That would solve one of my problems most definitely. See, years later, still learning from Nat. Like, you will, powerful experience. Kiz, it must be your turn for a question.
I'm too busy listening to the conversation.
See, it's always like this when Nat and I get together. You should see us when we have a lunch date. It's like a because there's so much to say. Nat, I've done this and we're doing this and we're doing that. And then I'll ask her advice about something because that's the relationship that Nat has with her writers. They become part of her family. That's important. That's really important because I know that if ever I had a big question that I couldn't figure out myself or couldn't get the answer, there's always Nat. I'm going, hey, Nat, what about blah, 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 and et cetera, et cetera. So looking at what you've done and what the plans for the future are, I'm wondering if there's one piece of advice that you routinely like to share with new writers.
I just say get out of your own way. to do this, because not one person has ever said to me, I wish I didn't do it, that wrote a book. Everyone always says, I'm so glad you made me do it. And I said, well,
yes.
You had to do it yourself. I just hopefully inspired you and triggered something in you so that you said yes to yourself a lot sooner. You know, don't wait, because we change. That's why we write so many books, Kez, isn't that right? Because we change and evolve, and the person we're at this age is not the same person 5 or 10 years ago. And if you've been writing 5 to 10 years, probably you need to just start from scratch, because you're going to say it differently. And that's why the writing of the book so fast makes you relevant and of the now, you know, rather than something that went on for years and years and years. So that's what I say, just get in, get out, and just get on. Writing a book is a temporary pain in the butt, okay? So
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Temporary. Once you've done it, you'll benefit for life.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, out of all my books, the 13th one was my story. I've taken a while to write it, but the 13th one, and I found that it took longer than any other book I've ever written. It took longer because I've grown. You know, I started off from when I could remember as a child. Mm-hmm. I've grown in so many ways, as you said, to sort of a senior in my life, and the places I've been and the people I've met, they all came into it. And suddenly you turn around and you think, I am so grateful to have met all these people that have taught me something. You know, meeting Toni was an absolute delight. And 2 years later, you know, I'm a co-host on her Wednesday show. You know, meeting yourself and seeing what you do, and knowing that I can also help encourage people to go your way and connect with you. Life's a very funny thing. So if you don't get your book out there, you're going to miss out. Mm. And that's the truth. You are going to miss out. So, folks, write your book. We've all got a fabulous book inside us. Everyone has.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now's the time, because if you leave it, it just goes on and on and on. So do it. Now, you've got a special offer for anyone wanting to write a book, the 48-hour way. Can you tell the audience about that for us, please?
Yeah, I'm just putting the links in the chat.
Yay!
I have a link for this. I will send you the document about the membership, though, because, and I need to get my butt into gear and get it on the website properly. But I've just put up the links to the half-day seminar, okay? So the one
that's
run every 7 days, sometimes there's a 2-week gap, sometimes but there's 30 of them a year. And always this link is relevant because it only updates the very next date. Okay, yes. So it'll the very next date. There's one for USA and Canada and Australia, just so people see the different dates, because we're on a different date.
Yes. Yeah.
It's free. Okay. And when you do register, you'll get a copy of the ebook version of Shut Up and Write Your First Book. So
which is great.
Yeah, great. That's the first of the trilogy, because then there's Ultimate 48-Hour Author, and then there's Shut Up and Sell Your First Book. So there's a trilogy of those, and this is really the mindset one that prepares
you.
Yes. Okay?
Definitely.
Yeah. Even if you don't attend it, you'll get the book and you'll end up on my database, so you'll get lots of valuable emails. But certainly attended their live. That's something that doesn't happen very often. A lot of people run evergreen seminars. You know, they're all
free. Yes, but yours are always live, aren't they, Nat?
Always live. My husband co-hosts with me. He does a session on unpacking a book. And there is an option if they wanted to upgrade to a VIP, then they would get the second book, which is the 48-hour author one, with, I don't know, a few other bonuses. It'll pop up and show you guys. But my main website is very easy to remember, writeabook.com.au. That's our main website. Probably over the next get that membership thingy set up properly and officially, but I'll send a document out so you can kind of see the info sheet.
Thank you. Natasha Denman, thank you so much for coming on the Authors and Artist Hour with Kez and myself. It's absolutely delightful to be able to interview you on my own show, remembering, of course, that it all started with you at the Ultimate 48-Hour Author. Natasha, thank you so much. Kez, thank you so much. We are completely out of time. Listeners, don't forget, this is free seminars. The links will be wherever you see this interview, the notes that attach to this interview, and of course they're up there live for you now. Natasha, thank you so much. Kez, thank you so much.
Thank
Just
you,
quickly, Kez and I are having a 4-week break. So this is your last show for the time being. We will be back in July, refreshed and ready to go with the Author and Artist Hour in July. Natasha Denman, thank you so much. Kez Wickham,
thank you, Natasha.
Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
I'm so grateful that you've come on the show today to tell us about this process, because we must tell these stories.